Hey, everybody. This is Radio Johnny, and you're listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP, the coolest station in the nation. And I'm in the studio today with a couple of wonderful women, the first of whom is my partner, who is...
Hello, everyone. This is Denise, and I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ and just really glad to be here.
And also in the studio with us today is Sherry Hall. Denise, do you want to introduce Sherry?
And we'll roll from there. Sherry Hall is the restoration pastor at Real Life Church on the Palouse. And welcome, Sherry.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
We're so glad you're here. I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I am married, and my husband and I attend Real Life. I am the restoration pastor at Real Life. And we have been both my husband and I have been over Celebrate Recovery for, I don't know, about 5 years. We've been involved for 13 years. And so that really is where I've gotten the majority of my experience and credentials, so to speak. What is just having participated myself, learned all of the different ways of healing oneself, going through all the different motions.
Oh, so you have the experience.
Yes.
You've learned that way.
Yeah.
To start with.
So I have credentials. You know, I've gotten 3 certificates of counseling from Christian Counseling Education Foundation. I have a certificate of counseling from Genesis Process. And I have a certificate from ARMS, which is Abuse Recovery Ministry Services. So, you know, I have the typical... You study it from the books, knowledge, but really my experience firsthand going through it myself is, I believe, what actually gives me credibility.
That's great. For the people, I know a lot of people follow this show. For the people who are not all that familiar, can you tell us a little bit about how Celebrate Recovery became a part of what goes on at Real Life?
Sure. Celebrate Recovery actually started here in Moscow 15 years ago. It's a national organization. There are like more than 20,000 Celebrate Recoveries across the nation, and they are worldwide. And it started probably close to 30 years ago now.
It was like 1981 or
something
so
like that. Yeah. And, but in Moscow, we brought it here, Daryl England and Sherry England brought it to Moscow 15 years ago. And, they started the nonprofit organization Project Hope. And so it was under the umbrella of Project Hope for many years. And we moved over to Real Life's building about 5 years ago. And we've been functioning under the nonprofit organization of Project Hope for the same amount of time. And then just this year, Real Life has just seen all the different lives that have been impacted through the ministry. And they have decided to take it on as a ministry of theirs. And so we have transitioned the ministry from Project Hope. Project Hope still does prison ministry and jail ministry as soon as we can get back in.
Right,
you know,
right.
We're kind of out doing that right now. But we've got some other irons in the fire, so to speak, which I can't really speak to yet, but I'll be back one day to talk about that.
I really like that.
And so we're transitioning Celebrate Recovery and this recovery ministry under Real Life's leadership. And I'll tell you, that has been huge for the growth of Celebrate Recovery here in Moscow, is having that pastoral support, the church support. Almost every Sunday, the pastors, whoever's talking, will just make some kind of a comment of, you know, I was at Celebrate Recovery last week, or I've seen the impact of Celebrate Recovery in families and in people. And people are recognizing that this isn't just for drugs and alcohol.
Right.
This is for any life issue that is overcoming you and you need help with. And so more and more people have been coming. And we are now going to be expanding it into Restoration Night. So because Celebrate Recovery is a national program, it is copyrighted. And so you are not allowed to bring in any other materials,
right,
even on your book table. You know, you can't, you're not supposed to offer any other books even. which is completely understandable because they have no control over what you would be offering. And so part of Celebrate Recovery and the experience that I've had with Celebrate Recovery is I have studied a dozen different recovery programs. I've read different books. I've participated in different things. And CR really has been the best broad spectrum recovery program that I've seen out there. It covers everything. But because it covers everything, it doesn't go into depth into right. any one thing because it wasn't created to do that, right? And so by us being able to bring in things like Genesis process and a codependency study, we are able to then go into depth into these things that we trigger. Because you and I both know, and many of your listeners know, that our addictions don't just come out of the blue.
Right.
They are there because there's underlying issues that need to get addressed. Right. And so that's what we want to begin doing, is discovering what those underlying issues are that drive any of our addictions, not just drugs and alcohol, although we deal with that. We're not afraid to deal with that. But it could be shopping or gambling or sexual addictions or you name it.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So.
Sure. Yeah. I know from my experience with Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't think I can remember a single person from that program that didn't deal with, you know, a mental health issue of some sort, you know, from just basic depression mm-hmm. up to bipolar disorders and even in one case, schizophrenia,
right.
which in and of itself is enough of something to be treated for. But, you know, people, I'm a guy, you know, and I'm going to, you know, treat this, you know, feeling sad the best way I know how, you know, give me a Jack Daniels on the rocks.
Right.
I know where that wound up for me. You know, it's not turns out it's not great to make that a 24/7 course of treatment.
Right.
And, you know, I'm always going to be an alcoholic, but once I got sober long enough, you know, I was able to realize that there were other things that needed to be attended to, depression, that, you know, the different mental health issues from childhood trauma and things that, you know, add up and contribute to it. So, yeah, I like the idea of having the ability to have a slightly more laser focused, in-depth study on it, because not unlike Celebrate Recovery, you know, AA deals primarily with recovery from alcoholism. Now, we do go into depth on those personal, what we call personal defects, and work to resolve those. But there's still things that are probably better handled through a program specifically designed to deal with mental health issues.
Sorry, I was going to ask if you could tell us more about the new classes that are going to be a part of Restoration Night. If you were ready to talk about that.
Yeah, I'd love to. So Celebrate Recovery, we've always had mixed issues, and that's just a great class for people who don't want to make a commitment. They can't really deal with homework for whatever reason, you know. They can come in and out. They don't have to register for that. And it's a place that they can talk week by week about what they're dealing with, how they're dealing with it, and just have some support in that way. So it's kind of a mixed bag of things. So that's always going to be there. The next one is the Celebrate Recovery Step Study. We will continue to do that one. And really, I find that is one of the best tools for bringing everything back to yourself. What's my part in it, right? It's so tempting to think it's my boss's fault, it's my husband's fault, it's my kid's fault, that my problems are out there. Well, that leaves that you don't have any control and you're stuck in the situation that you're in. And so being able to go through the step study and figure out actually what is my part here and what's their part and what's God's part in this, it is scriptural. Based off of scripture. And so we'll probably always have the step study going at any one time. The next one, the new ones that we're bringing in, is Genesis Process. And this is a deeper look into addiction itself. It kind of goes into the brain chemistry of addiction and how that plays into why we can't stop doing what we're doing. Other aspects of Genesis Process I find fascinating are the lies. It really deals with the lies that we have believed because of the traumas that we have experienced, or because of the past addiction. You know, I'm just a junkie is a lie. You don't always have to be a junkie, right?
Right.
The lies such as I'm not good enough, or, you know, God doesn't see me or hear me or love me. So it really goes deeply into discovering what am I acting on. And what I found so oftentimes is I might not verbally say I believe a lie, but I might react as though I believe that lie, right? So I might believe that I'm worthy, or I might say that, right? But if you give me a dirty look, I run the other way. What is that about? And so we begin to discover those lies and what those are. Another facet of Genesis Process that I really love is the faster scale. So he gives you lots of tools in this to be able to use, right? One of them is called the faster scale. And this is where relapse is no longer used as shame against you, which is just a beautiful thing. It's used to discover what's going on in your world. So let's say you've had a relapse. They go back, you know, 8 steps prior to that to find out what was the avenue that took you down to that relapse. Because relapse never happens in a moment. There's always stuff that leads you to that, right? And so you're able to name your exact relapse pattern. And then at the end of Genesis, you give your pattern to your closest people. And you say things like, when you see me working too much, you need to start asking me what I'm doing because you're headed for relapse.
So those are your right? accountability partners, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So it sets you up for a future of success and a future of community being able to speak into your life. You're giving them permission to say, hey, what's up? You know, as opposed to not giving them permission, then they have to kind of break down this invisible barrier, and then you feel odd. It doesn't work.
The conversation could come off really weird.
Yeah.
And somebody could just get offended and like, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. What do you mean? Right. You're seeing something in me, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if I've given you permission, then it's good.
And you've defined what it looks like. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've owned it, mm-hmm. and, you know, the other person knows. Because sometimes I think people are doing things and you're like, something seems off. But nobody really knows what's going on because there's nobody that you've talked to and made your accountability partner to be able to talk with you about things.
Right.
And so then you're just kind of on your own. And people are like scratching their heads going, I don't know what Susie Q's, I don't know what's going on with her.
Yeah. You know? And this is particularly important for things like depression,
mm-hmm.
Things like suicidal tendencies, right? We can step back and go, whoa, something's not right. But if you don't have permission, you might not feel like you can go to that.
And that's a big step, I would imagine, for someone to give permission to something like that. And in AA, we have a sponsorship is a big part of what we do. And the basic idea of working with a sponsor is A, to be a guide through the 12 steps, and also to be a person who will call you on your BS.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, how are you doing? Well, I'm upset today. You know, my boss is this and that. Well, wait a minute. Let's go a little deeper there. And yeah, because you're setting yourself up for relapse. I was talking with a young man the other day who's been out of shape for a week that this apartment he thought he was going to get, he didn't get. And it probably had something to do with his legal background. You know, he was just stomping around being upset about it. And I looked at him and I said, so, you know, the longer you stay upset about this, the more likely it is that you're going to use this as an excuse to use again.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, is being upset worth going to prison for 2 years? Because that's what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, I saw a little bit of a light bulb go on in his head. Well, I'm really not that upset. And I go, well, you need to think about that.
Yeah.
How upset are you really? But yeah, that accountability, that ability to let people in, though, that's the key. And that's hard. That's yes. hard.
Yeah. And with Genesis, they actually have you do that with three or four people. So it's not just on one sponsor, mm-hmm. which is good. You know, you're able to let other people know.
Right. Right.
So the next class that we're going to be offering is Codependency, which covers the book, The Christian Codependency Recovery Workbook. This is a workbook that we don't even hope to get through it in the 12 weeks because it's just so meaty and so amazing, right? But we do our best to get, you know, it kind of gets you on the start, the path of understanding what codependency even is, because mm-hmm. it's a super misunderstood word. And being able to own your part, because for codependence, this is one of the areas where it really is everybody else's fault. My heart is good. I want good for everybody else. How can I possibly be in the wrong? And you can't see your part. And so it's really a beginning place of being able to see what your part is and what your part isn't. And I will have to say, I've done a lot of counseling over the years. And I would guess this is probably one of the biggest problems for American adults is this codependency. I've even seen where I've counseled abusive men who are abusive that you would think are not codependent, but they actually abuse out of their codependency because their wife won't give them the kudos that they need, right? They're looking to their wife or their girlfriend to make them feel good about themselves, that they abuse to try to pull that out of them. And so codependency can look very different on lots of different people. And it's a misunderstood word. And so at the end of this, you just begin to barely understand what it is. So it's a very good class. And the next class is called Blueprint for Transformation. And our very own Viola resident K.O. Spangler wrote it. It is actually a requirement is to go through the Genesis process first and then to go through this blueprint of transformation, because she really understands the spiritual aspect of change and what it takes to change. You know, it's really hard to change. Really hard to change.
No, really?
It is.
Oh, Lordy. Yes.
Especially if you don't want to.
Yeah, right.
Really hard if you don't want
or
to.
Or you're afraid to.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Or if you're getting some benefit out of your negative behavior, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that book actually takes a full year to go through. And she goes through it very in-depthly in combination with the Genesis process. So you go through the Genesis process a second time. That's limited to like four people for men, four people for women. And it's pretty intense. And so all of those classes, we limit to about 10 people per class. And so for any overflow, we've got in the big auditorium, we have what we're calling Resolving Everyday Conflicts. And this is a video series put out by Peacemakers Ministries. And really, everybody in the world should go through this class.
I can totally second that. Yeah.
It just gives you basic, good, common sense resolution skills, right? Which who can't use that? You need it in marriage. You need it with your boss. You need it with kids. You need it with your neighbors. You need it with everybody. So that's why it's kind of it's probably not going to be a super sharing class, although we'll probably break down and be able to share with different people. But certainly a class that we can have overflow in for that. Those are what is on the docket for this first round in January 7th that we're starting it. And so that's six different classes that we're going to be able to participate in on Restoration Night.
And Sherry, if someone were wanting to sign up for one of these classes or had more questions, mm-hmm. what would be a way that they could either get a question answered or sign up for classes?
So if you go to liferotp.com
right.
/ restoration, there's a button that says sign up for registration classes or register or something like that. And all the classes are listed there. And then there should be a button there to email me if you have any further questions. All the emails come to me and I answer back as soon as I can.
That's great. I was just going to say, if you go to sign up for a class, make sure if you're a woman, you find the women's one. If you're a man, find the man's one.
Also important to know that even though we're recording this on the 4th, we'll be playing on the 7th.
Yeah.
So if you're hearing this right now on the 7th, if somebody was interested and they just can't make it happen today, and they pick up into this farther down the road.
Yes. So certain classes will close, like the codependency class. There's so much meat in there the first few weeks that we'll probably close it after 2 weeks if it's not full. The step study, it can be stay open for 6 weeks. The resolving everyday conflicts class is pretty much of an open class, and you can come in if you know, for one class, and you'll get a lot out of it. So probably just email me, find out what, tell me what you're interested in, or ask your questions. I'll respond with, you know, what might be the best solution for you to join at that time.
So Thursday nights at Restoration, so Restoration night, so we're going from it being Celebrate Recovery night to being Restoration night at Real Life Church. And what are the times looking like? What's happening there?
Times? Good question. So at 6:25, we're starting. And that is so that we can get 3 songs in, because we like to worship. We like to sing songs. And we want to begin a little bit early to get that 3rd song in. Otherwise, we're going to be limited to 2 songs. We're limiting our large group time to just about a half an hour. It'll be 35 minutes. And that's so that we can have longer time in these restoration groups. And so 6:25, we'll sing about 3 songs, roughly. We'll go into either big chip party, or we'll have a video or something along those lines for 5 minutes. And then we'll have a lesson. And the lessons will be loosely based off of Celebrate Recovery's 25 lessons. But now we can bring in other people's materials. So we'll still be talking about denial. We'll still be talking about powerlessness. We'll still be talking about amends and forgiveness and those kinds of things. But we're going to be able to bring in a little bit of other materials as we talk about those basic recovery lessons, restoration lessons. It's really, how do I restore my spirit, my soul, back to its original intent, right?
And will there be any testimonies?
There will be testimonies every other week. So there will be a lesson 1 week, and then the next week there will be a testimony or a graduation, which kind of includes testimonies.
I was going to say, it sounds to me like even if you didn't sign up for a class and you came in and participated in the first half an hour, and then you were getting a lesson and hearing a testimony, it'll kind of help you grasp what is going on here.
Yes.
Like if you're curious as to what it's about, you know, you can come in and hear other people talk about it, hear the lessons. And then if you'd like, you could stay for mixed issues.
Right.
So what happens after that first big group, which meets in the auditorium and it's everybody?
Then we break down, and they will be women's groups and men's groups. Resolving Everyday Conflicts is a mixed issues group. I think everything else is gender-based. That will go from 7:15 to 8:30. And that's going to be the bulk of the evening. After that, we'll have a little snack time. You can, you know, chat with some people, and we'll close up about 9. We do have childcare, and we do have kids club. So childcare is like 5 years old and down, and really starting at around 5 through teenage years, we're going to be doing the same lessons with the kids as the parents are learning. So when the parents are learning, what does it look like to come out of denial? The kids are going to be talking about that so that the whole family can be learning these principles at the same time and be talking about it. Yeah.
So the classes that the young people are going to have are probably going to be tailored more to their understanding level.
And, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
So wonderful.
I've actually been to a well, it was Celebrate Recovery alone then, and went and heard Miss Denise's testimony.
It's amazing getting a list of testimonies. I mean, all the testimonies that I listen to, there's just so much you can get out of it. That's right. Great. Wow. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Right. No, no. No, I was kind of hoping you'd jump in there. It's not unlike the AA version is what we call a speaker meeting, where a person will get up and tell their story of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now in recovery. And those are always uplifting because, you know, oddly enough, when I first came into AA, I suffered with a condition called terminal uniqueness. Was pretty well convinced that nobody had experienced what I had experienced during my drinking career.
That was me. Yeah.
And, you know, it was going to those speaker meetings in the early days that really made it clear to me that I was talking to people who knew what I was about.
It makes us all kind of equal.
Right.
Because
exactly.
When we're dealing with that, we think, oh, I'm the only one who has suffered this. Nobody can really understand. And when you hear somebody else speaking your story, basically, some of the details are different, obviously, but the basics of your story, you can say, oh, well, I'm not alone. And that's the beautiful part of that.
Yeah. And if this person and I, like, if I see things that they're sharing about, if I recognize those in my life and they're doing pretty good, well, then I'm like, okay, there's some hope.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one.
It's possible to get over this.
Yeah. Look at they're standing up there. They're sharing their story. They seem happy. You know, I mean, wow. That's inspiring.
It is inspiring. Yeah. I will say that, January 7th is our first night of this, and we're starting all these classes at the same time. Our goal is going to be to start new classes every January, April, July, and October. So on the quarter system. And so every 3 months, we'll start new classes, and the old classes probably won't be finished. So they'll continue on until they are done. And then we'll just continue to start new classes. So,
right. Cause some of the classes are like, for instance, the everyday conflict, that is like 12 weeks.
Correct.
Okay. And then the step study and the Genesis process,
six months.
Yep. And how long is codependency going for?
It's going to roughly be 16 to 18 weeks. So it's kind of in the middle of, you know, 4 to 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that will end. And then those people will probably go into mixed issues or something along those lines until the new semester or new quarter starts. Right. So I just want to say, I just came from a meeting with my team where we started dreaming about what other classes we could add.
And I was going to say, what comes?
What's
next?
The cooker?
What's next?
Right. So
what's
just to give you
what's
a teaser.
After all this cool stuff? Because I can see somebody going in doing Celebrate Recovery. Or the Celebrate Recovery steps, and then they're going to want to go into Genesis, and then maybe veer off into codependence, or maybe into Blueprint, and then what?
Right.
You know, that's me. I'm always
like the five
way farther ahead
there.
Than I need to. Yeah.
Well, these are just some of the ideas. We'll see what kind of leaders. It's all based on leaders and who's going to lead the classes, right? But we definitely want to do something for marriages, broken marriages, and how are those going to be restored? We want to do probably something with love and logic on parenting, sexual integrity, because that's a huge issue for people. We want to do something for how to heal from past abuse, and that's probably going to be mending the soul. I've already got some leaders lined up for that down the line, right? Grief share is a great program that is already developed that we just need leaders for. Divorce care is another good one. We're going to be developing some stuff from John Eldridge series, Wild at Heart. I don't know if anybody's heard of that, but that's a great book, really talking about our identity in Christ. Another book by John Eldridge that is great is Waking the Dead. And that's really just talking about how to wake up our hearts again, how to live from our hearts and not just coast through life. And so we're going to be developing that. And we've got some financial freedom stuff in the brewing. We've done one of those classes. We'll bring it back. And then really, you know, once all of these wounds are healed in us, we're going to be talking about our identity. And what do I do with my giftings? Who am I? It's not just all about getting over our pain. It's about walking into what I've been created for. And I just love that. I have one gal right now. She went through codependency. She went through Genesis process. She's gone through the step study. And after she did all of those things, she discovered that she was gifted to be a massage therapist. And she's in school right now to become a massage therapist. And she's loving it. And that just makes my heart sing and is happy that, you know, she may or may not continue to participate in these classes or in this ministry, but she's out there doing what she's supposed to be called to do by God. And that to me is the best. So, yeah. And so we're going to be talking about identity and how do you discover that and how do you discover your giftings. And so those are some of the classes that I hope to bring in.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know when we're working on that, but just to give you a teaser, that's coming.
Wow. That's quite a broad spectrum of different things.
It's all the human
coming
beings.
Down the line. Yeah.
It's all the things that people we know and we struggle with.
Again, I always run back. It annoys Denise, I'm sure, but I always go back to my experience in AA, and it is basically defined as a spiritual program of action. I know Celebrate Recovery, all these programs are basically based on the Christian belief
system. Right.
So here's the hard question. Can a Buddhist find relief in Celebrate Recovery?
Absolutely. And we have had people who do not have, who are not spiritual at all, or other, you know, spiritual things. I mean, they just have to realize that we're going to be talking from scripture and pointing that out. But we've had a lot of people get freedom from their hurts, habits, and hangups from this program. So
Right. They're
welcome. They can offer their opinion. You know, we're not scared of their opinion. If it differs from something I believe, that's fine.
Right. Because we have, and I assumed that, but I wanted to kind of hear it only because I can think of several people I know in the AA program who say, I am an atheist with a spiritual program.
Mm-hmm.
So, those things can coexist.
Yeah.
You know, I have a close friend who's very involved with his Christian church. And, we talk about scripture all the time because there's a lot of great lessons there, you know, in that book, that Bible book. You know, once you get past the fear of the G word,
right?
You know, that so many people tend to have, especially people in addiction, understandably so, because, you know, you're talking about the lies that we come to believe, you know, God has abandoned me. God hates me. There's no point in having any sort of spiritual awareness. It just, you know, makes me crazy. And that's what crazy people talk about. And then when you get into, you know, religious beliefs. I was raised in a Lutheran church, Missouri Synod, fire and brimstone. You're going to burn, you know, if your behavior doesn't change. So as a young adult, I figured, well, I'm going to burn. May as well have fun while I'm doing it.
Did your pastor yell?
Oh, well, he was loud. He was a big anchor Jensen, rest his soul. Not screaming in your face, not the classic television Southern Baptist type deal. But fear was the motivating factor, you know, in those days in that church. You know, so for me that was like, okay, I'm done, I'm good. Let's get some beer and
all sorts of different experiences.
De-stress from this.
Right.
Yeah.
I would just say that if I had gone to, say, a Mormon church for a class, you know, and I would understand that I don't believe what they believe necessarily, right? But there's probably some good things in their program that I could take and benefit my life from, right? And so, you know, I think too oftentimes in our culture today, we think we have to agree with something, everything that another person agree or thinks in order to be friends, and we don't.
Right.
We can stand to disagree, right? And that's good and healthy, and we can have those good and healthy conversations about that.
Well, and that's when you're talking about codependency.
Yeah.
Ding. That's, yeah,
ding,
that's
ding,
a
ding,
big
ding,
thing
ding.
There.
Yeah.
Sign that you're getting out of your codependency.
Right.
Yeah.
And some people
really
do
aware.
Struggle, you know, on the opposite side of that coin. There's the people who, I can't be friends with you if you don't believe like I do.
Right.
And I'm going to pester you incessantly, you know, until you believe the way I do.
Right.
Yeah, I can talk to my friends who are Christians. I can talk to my sister who's a Buddhist. I have friends who are Muslim. And it's, you know, it doesn't, the spirituality of the experience, you know, doesn't have to be one way or another.
Right.
And I think if you really are paying attention to get right down to it, all kind of based in the same thing.
So, Johnny,
you know,
like
a power greater than ourselves that maybe loves us and wants us to be happy.
Right.
And it sounds to me like you're just loving people and being accepting. I think that's,
well,
that's what I hear you saying. Would you agree?
Yeah. Well, I have to. I have to. I spent so much time fighting, you know, in my head, you know, why
right.
all this stuff. It's like, I love listening to atheists. You know, true card-carrying atheists try and convince me that there is no God. I just love listening to them because they get so fired up. They're so passionate. And at the end, they just you look at them and they just look so empty. It's just like, oh, I'm never going to convince you. You're right. But I'm perfectly happy with if you feel that way.
Right.
Good O for you.
Right.
No, but you have. You must see there is no logic in a God. No, there isn't. You're right.
Yeah, and
so,
sometimes the atheists are more dogmatic about you've got to believe the way that I believe.
Oh,
you,
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. They drive themselves mad.
Yeah.
And I'm sure all our atheist listeners just dropped off the station. But that's okay. We still love you.
That's
I mean,
right.
It's all right.
I'm too busy to try to force anybody to believe.
Yeah.
You know. Maybe when I'm retired and I'm an empty nester.
There's still
manipulate some people.
No, I think you were probably really good at that at one point. I think you're trying
subtle.
To break that habit.
Yes,
I think we've talked about that. Yeah, manipulation is fun. Well, let's see. What else is coming up here and I want to repeat that web address because sometimes it's confusing. Is LIFEROTP.
Yes.
So life ROTP.
Lifer on the Palouse. So liferotp.com.
Yeah. Just to be sure. Or Google Real Life of the Palouse and that'll give it to you.
Yeah. So also you were mentioning that you wanted to talk about the her journey.
Oh, yes. Thank you. So another class that we have at a different time in space is for women who are either currently in or coming out of domestic violence situations. And, you know, domestic violence doesn't always look violent. It can be very it's relationships that are damaging to you, right? It can be the cold shoulder if you don't do exactly what is being said. And so we want, this class is an hour long. You do have to, contact me, to find out where and when, because we don't want people who should not know about the class knowing where it's at, but it is a really good class to understanding what, domestic violence is, what it isn't, and what do you do about it? You know, the choices are all up to you and know what to do. We go through things like how to have boundaries and what's your part in it. Because when you're in that situation, it's almost like you're living with a crazy person and you just don't even know. And sometimes people's situations, they really are trapped into situations. And so we can partner with them and help them to figure out what their next step is. That's called Her Journey. And so just contact me through the Real Life page, restoration page, and I'll get you more contact information on that. But that's here in Moscow.
Did you want to mention anything else about like any confidentiality of like our small groups? Or, I mean, because what if someone's feeling like, I don't know if I want to go and air my stuff, because then Susie Q and my cousin might find out because they live here in town.
Celebrate Recovery has always had anonymity and confidentiality to it. As we move into Restoration Night, just because we're getting a little bit larger, that gets a little bit more complicated as far as who's there, who's showing up to Restoration Night, right? It's not like we're going to go broadcasting it all over the place, but we have less control over that. But certainly in our small groups, what is said there stays there. And every time we read the guidelines in all of the different classes, that what is shared in those small groups with those 8 to 10 people, that stays in those small groups. So
when you go into the big group for the first half an hour, you're not agreeing to not say anything about so-and-so being there or not being there. But when you break off into your small groups,
right,
then group rules or, you know, guidelines, right, would be, yeah, that you don't discuss who's there or what was discussed,
right,
about,
right,
someone else,
right,
that was in the group.
And we have been having about 50 to 60 people at CR.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully expect that that's probably going to grow some to, you know, 70, 80 people in this first quarter. So,
right. Especially now that we're kind of getting towards the light at the end of the tunnel for COVID.
Yes. Yeah. And we're in the big auditorium, so we are able to sit, you know, 6 feet away from people. So that's good.
Yeah, that's a couple hundred people. So
yeah, it's a huge facility.
300, yeah.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the one I went to was in a little alcove off to the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even that was pretty roomy.
Yeah. And
that was pre-COVID,
yeah,
as well.
Right.
So.
Yep. So we moved, since COVID, we've moved into the auditorium.
So much bigger.
So we can have that social distancing.
Yep.
That's fabulous. Yeah. Anonymity is like, you know, the spiritual foundation of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah.
As well. And, you know, I would encourage people, if people that are coming to those meetings, just like people to go to my AA meetings, we're all there for the same reason. And, you know, it's not as if the opportunity to blow someone's anonymity in a public place is, you know, impossible. And regretfully, you know, I have done it. But fortunately, it's been on a very minor scale, kind of to the effect of my wife saying, where do you know that person from? And I've said it out loud, and I'm kind of like, maybe, well, it's my wife. But
mm-hmm.
And then, but I talked, you know, I talked to my wife about that. And now we have kind of have an understanding. If I'm talking to somebody that she doesn't know and I don't necessarily introduce her to them, she just kind of nods and walks away,
yeah,
you know, and just kind of like, oh, okay, it's one of your, it's one of your people.
Recovery related.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the nice part with Restoration Night is nobody actually knows why you're there.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Because we deal with so many different issues that,
yeah,
it doesn't,
yeah,
even matter.
Yeah. I'm messed up. You're messed up. We're all,
yeah,
in the same
we're
place.
People.
We're all
people.
Messed up.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, Sherry, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us. With
absolutely.
So
thank you for having me.
Is there anything that you wanted to add? Is there anything that we forgot?
I think we're good.
Well,
yeah.
Fabulous.
Okay.
Well, good. Then we'll wrap it up at this time. And my thanks to you too, Sherry.
Thank
and
you.
And to all your leaders over there, one of which is sitting across the table from me.
Yeah.
Very proud that she
so
took on that mantle. Still jealous of her Hope Dealer t-shirt.
Yes. And we're going to have different shirts now.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'm still wearing that Hope Dealer t-shirt.
Yeah, I think you should.
Sweater.
I think,
yeah,
it suits you well.
Well, the Hope Dealer t-shirt is actually under the Project Hope. So we'll still have those around.
Well, then we'll end it up right here with what I usually say. And what do I usually say? Oh, yeah. If you think you have a problem with drugs and alcohol,
you
do.
Hey. Ain't like- life wonderful?
Wonderful.
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 Wonderful. Isn't it wonderful?
Wonderful.
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 So wonderful.
Isn't everything wonderful?
Wonderful now.
Sad. I think thoughts that I know are bad. Close my eyes and I count to ten. Hope it's over when I open them. I want the things that I had before, like a Star Wars poster on my bedroom door. I wish I could count to ten, make everything be wonderful again. Hold my mom and I hold my dad. We'll figure out why they get so mad. Hear them scream, I hear them fight. They say bad words and make me wanna cry. Close my when I go to bed at night, dream adventures will make me smile. I feel better when I hear them say, everything will be wonderful someday.